Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, now we have another wonderful young man. I love him anyway. You might, if you don't like him, you can throw things. It's okay. Long as you pick them up afterwards, all right? But I've loved this kid for a long time. And he's going to share his thoughts with us. He's built himself a real neat, interesting life. I don't know if he'll tell you about it or not, but he's got a very interesting life. And I've had a chance to watch him for quite a few years. Now, not too long ago, he got himself a little illness because he thought he wasn't getting enough attention. So he got himself an illness that he got a lot of attention out of. I think he even got to go to the hospital for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, 8 years maybe. I don't know how long, but he was there for a while. I didn't get to see him, so I don't really know that as a fact. But you're going to love him. It's our Dan Hare.
I wasn't in the hospital for 6 or 7 years. Oh, gosh. You know, it's fun because I don't come down as much. I live in North County, and it's fun. And with Millie's appreciation dinner, I came down, and it was so much fun to see people that I'd known over the course of the 20 years that I started coming here. And I just want to, you know, I took my picture with Millie, and you know how we posted on Facebook, and I said, I got my 2 minutes of fame with Millie. And I was so excited because, you know, this woman's changed so many people's lives, including mine. And, you know, she was probably the main impetus of me kind of having a period of my life of being a fundamentalist. I have nothing bad to say, but there's a larger picture. And so I just want to say thank you again, Miss Millie. You are the best.
Oh, thank you, Angel. You're the best.
Well, you know, I have one to say. I loved you first.
She has a banner for it now.
Yeah, she has a banner. So, you know, the thoughts that I've got tonight, I hope they come out okay, and I hope that there's at least one person that can relate, because I know 99% of you are perfect, but there's one of you that might have something that you get out of this, and I hope so. And if one person gets something out of this, I will feel it will have been worth the time and coming down and sharing with you. So at Millie's, I'll call it banquet, kind of a friend, an acquaintance here from the church says, you know, I love seeing you on Facebook. And, you know, you have such an interesting life. And I thought, an exciting life. And I got, well, okay, thank you. And I thought, if you only knew. I live up in Encinitas. And recently, one of my yoga teachers who teaches Kundalini, you know, the breath work, wrote on her post, the most interesting thing, and it's stuck with me for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And she said, your mess is your message. And I thought, your mess is your message. You know what? We all have a mess. There are things in our life that aren't perfect. Well, all but one of you. I know there's one of you that's perfect in here. But, or no, not, you're all perfect except one. Maybe something like that. The long and short is that we all have messes in our life. It's part of this thing called humanity. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, and it's funny, I have a background where I studied the Bible for a lot of years. And so I always used to quote a Bible verse. And this time I wanted to start off with my yoga teacher because I just thought it was so profound. It was so in this moment and in this day that life is a mess. And it was the same thing that the Apostle Paul said that, you know, the things that I'm afflicted with, it's those things that I can then have mercy on others with, essentially, in 1st, 2nd Corinthians 1, I think it is. And the idea is that the reason why God gives us challenges is, number one, to get through them. And number two is to help somebody else through them. And the challenge with so many people, unfortunately, none of you except for maybe one, get in a cycle of victimhood. And you have the same in me. And when I point my finger, I got three fingers coming right back at me. Okay, so let's just be real clear on that. Is that we get in this kind of a cycle of I can't because. My story, this happened to me, therefore I can't. Does anybody relate to that? There's kind of this idea of it's our story. And so I want to ask you this question. What's your story? What story are you holding on to that's holding you back? There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the ancient goldsmith. It's in 1 Peter, I think, 1, 10 through 12 or something like that. And it says, even though you're tested as with fire. And the Greek word picture is very interesting. It's that of an ancient goldsmith who puts gold into this crucible and they fire it up. And I think it's 1,200 degrees, but they fire it up hotter and hotter. And the impurities of the gold come to the surface. And the goldsmith takes like this spoon, this ladle, and takes off the impurities. And he knows it's pure when he looks down on it and he can see his face. And in a sense, that's kind of what the Christ did. He came down and when we go through trials and our responses to the trials and the tribulations of our life, when our response is pure, you can see the face of Jesus. And you know, it's interesting. Some people go through trial, and I've been there before, where it's, oh, this is happening to me, and oh, that, and da-da-da. And there's other people that they get into this very, in a very spiritual place, and it's like, I'm good. I'm breathing. And I'm in this moment. I'm not attached to my story. I'm not attached to this victim thing that somebody's doing something to me. I'm detaching from that. And, you know, the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. And I think that so oftentimes our society and things of external stimulus, you know, the world and, you know, all the image and Hollywood and people with money, you know, don't you just love people with money because you wish you had more of it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. You should, of course. But, you know, here's the thing. The power that resides in each one of us is far more powerful than anything in the world if we can let go of our story that holds us back. That makes sense? Okay. Greg Braden. Anybody heard of Greg Braden? A couple of people? He's one of my favorites. A guy, Dr. Dispenza and Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton. These guys they're spiritualists, but they're scientists. And in the last number of years, they're starting to chart and identify in science that each of us have an electromagnetic field with our heart and our brain. And curiously, and I've always been kind of a brain guy, knowledge, you know, and I've fought it over the years. And your brain actually sends out, it's either an electric or magnetic pulse, it's one of them. But the heart, the emotion, is 5,000 times more powerful. But when you combine the two, it explodes into this electromagnetic field, and it actually, they're learning that it expands the universe. And so when you hold in your emotions and you live in this limited world of your physical body and of your story, which is your past, you're limiting the influence of your electromagnetic field in the world today and in the universe. We can make a difference in the world on the basis of our being present and really living our dreams. And our dreams start in our mind and in our heart. And if we can get to this point, where we can begin to feel. And I've had been beat up in my life, you know, the emotional thing. And then you kind of get like this. I'm not going to feel because. I'm not going to let myself get hurt. And you got to figure it out yourself, because I've had to figure it out myself. But the more that you can detach from that story of this thing of being hurt, and you can take your emotions up to God, this magical thing begins to happen. That energy will find in the other side, in the ethos, what you're looking for. I don't know the timing. I don't know how the answer comes. And the thing is, it generally comes in a way that you're not looking. Because in my mind, it's like, okay, I do this, this, and this. Logically, this will happen. Cause and effect. And that can have, that's like matter changing matter. But when we get into this magical world of the spirit and of this living God that loves us and wants the best for our world, and we detach from our story, all of a sudden things start to happen. And I just want to say to you, that if you can begin this process of detaching from your story of the past, magical things can happen. And so, you know, the question comes up, yeah, that sounds all good. How do you do it? And I love Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's kind of an associate of the same cloth as Greg Braden. And he says, you know, when you start to meditate, if you can start and you go to that dark, you know, shut your eyes, and if you can start to see yourself not as a man or a woman, an adult or a child, a teacher or a doctor or a janitor or whatever it is, and you start to diffuse yourself from your physical world and you become energy, all of a sudden, and you become a nobody. You know, we're taught in this world, we want to be somebody, right? I want to make my mark in the world. I know that for me, that's, yeah, I got to do something. I got to prove myself. But if you can get to this point where you kind of diffuse in your meditation to where you're just part of the ethos, and you set your intention and your thought and you give it up to God, things will start to happen. You know, that it's almost as though, like you go to the bank and you put your money in the bank and you trust that the bank's going to take care of it. They're going to guard your money. There's a verse in 1 Peter. I like that book this week. And it says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And the idea is that, you know, we go into the bank, or we take our cares and our concerns to the living Father, Abba Father, and he'll hold that and he cares about that. And the key is to detach from the limitations that consistently crawl back into our daily thing. We get up and we go to work, and that employee, that fellow worker that irritates you, they continue to irritate you, and we get into these habitual kinds of environments. If you can basically detach and get to a point where it's about energy, we are the most powerful energy in the universe. Human beings have the power to be the most powerful influence on our earth and really in our universe. And so at the end of the day, and I'll close with this, at the end of the day, we need to be still and know what that feels like. Being present, and as you go through this whole idea of who I am, you are who you are in this present moment. You are not your story from yesterday. And when you can start to let go of that, one finger out, three fingers back at me, all of a sudden, just watch. God, show me some things. Let me detach from who I have been holding on to and all of my limitations, show me, intervene into my world, and just wait and see what happens. That's it. I'm short tonight. Thank you. Yeah.
Almost unexplainable. He's explaining it, isn't he? Boy, Dan, you've done some tall thinking. He had a little spell of illness, and I think he took time to do some tall thinking.
Oh, I didn't tell you about that.
You want to?
You want me to tell you about that? Okay. Yeah, that was part of the story. Okay, I'll tell you this.
We love a success
story. So.
No, this is actually pretty good. Okay, I'll take up more of your time. So, you know, this whole idea about Facebooks, and I thought, yeah, I try to be positive. You know, I don't like to do my dirty laundry and every little thing, okay? And about 9 months ago, a perfect storm of stuff happened to me. Blood sugar, blood pressure, anemic, uric acid, I mean, just all this stuff, right? I ended up not being able to walk. I ended up in the hospital for 2 days. And my inflammatory markers, I learned all these medical terms. I feel so sophisticated, right? It's called your C-reactive protein. And what it is, it's the inflammatory marker in your body. And so I'm thinking I've got this gout in my feet and I can't walk. A week goes by and my energy's down and going, it's going to get better, and I'm icing, and I'm doing all this stuff. And then I called my doctor. I says, man, could you do a house call? And he says, man, look, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to call 911. He says, get your butt to the hospital. Okay, good. And I hated it because I didn't have anybody to give me a ride. So I had to call 911, and I called them on there. Oh, no, I didn't call them. I called the fire department dispatch. I said, you guys, I need a ride, but could you come and not do the sirens? I said, I really don't want to be, make this a dramatic thing. And they were great. They came and I said, don't do the sirens. And they're only like six blocks from my house. And I heard them go out of the fire station with the sirens on, right? And I'm going, oh, God, this is going to be this big dramatic thing. And then they turned it off and they shuffled me in the back of the ambulance, took me down. I was there for 2 days, got out, thank God. And they did some tests. I was just over the diabetic line, and my gout was, my uric acid was up. But the thing that was really out of whack is this thing called your C-reactive protein, and you're supposed to be 3 or under. I was 318. And my doctor says, I've never seen anything this high. And he was, and that's your inflammation. That's like stroke and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, whoa, okay. So I basically told the hospital, I want to get out of here because I wasn't happy with, I had 7 minutes with my doctor and I know they did some tests. And the long and short is I did get out. And my yoga teacher, it's kind of a blur, but she went over and she came over and she says, oh man, you got to go to Dr. O'Ryan, who's a naturopath. And she calls him and he does a house call because, I couldn't get back to the doctors. I couldn't walk still. And I literally, you guys, I couldn't walk for 3 months. I was in bed for 3 months. And you talk about, oh, I have this exciting, glamorous life. I got the camper potty right next to my bed because I can't make it to the bathroom, right? So, it was a serious gig. So for 3 months and 4 stem cell treatments later and 2 months of shots in the stomach with human growth hormone precursors or something, I'm just starting in mid-December. Well, third week in November, I'm kind of with a walker. You're going to the bathroom, and then it was like the first week of December, I'm on a cane, and I'm just barely walking, right? The doctor said to me, he says, man, your body is like it's on fire. It's like the forest fires. And I think the forest fires were happening in California then, as I recall. Yes. It's kind of vague to me. And he said, So the stem cells go into your body, and then the rest of your, because you, they want to protect your heart. That's the first thing. And then the rest of your body is calling out, hey, down here, my knee, you know, fire, fire. And I, my knee was so, my body was so inflamed, I literally couldn't move 2 inches without screaming in pain. I mean, and I'm not talking, it was the most amazing thing. And so, and this is where kind of part of the message comes in, is that Greg Braden talks about every breath you take is a new possibility. And I remember they gave me, Oxycontin? Yeah. And I'm afraid of it. And I didn't want to take it, and I wouldn't take it. And I ended up, they gave me 12. I took 3 over a month because I was just like, I'm not going to take this. And it was the most amazing thing because every time I breathed, I thought, I am not my story. I have a new possibility. There is a new possibility every time I breathe. And little by little, you can't say I swear to you because that's... You can't say that stuff in church, right? But I'm telling you, God would send me these different people. And so I have this old artist friend who, she hadn't heard from me. And I said, you know, I'm not good company. I was in the hospital and da-da. And she says, I'm coming out. I said, I'm not in a good place to visit. I'm not coming to visit you. I'm coming to take care of you. You're burning up. She sacrificed 3 weeks of her life, slept on the sofa next to me, and basically was a servant to me like you wouldn't believe. Oh, wow. And then she got tired of me. She said, I got to go. I said, I understand. Go. You know, got to do your thing. And I was a little bit better. And then that was a point where I was just on the, you know, those little walker deals? You got the little wheels? So I'm just barely getting around. I mean, I could maybe go to the kitchen once a day, which was from here to that door. That was the extent of my ability to walk. And one day the front doorbell rings, and I was sitting in the chair, and it's not like you jump up. It's like, I mean, it took me like 2 or 3 minutes to get to the door. And I remember opening the door, and the person that was at the door was like from here to that door going out. And it was an old buddy of mine that I've known for 30 years. We were the three amigos in my 30s, right? And he looked at me, and I'm in this walker, and I'm kind of this frail little person. And he said, what the bleep? And he literally, and he was kind of in transition himself. And to this day, that was last November. He still lives at my compound. He's got a little space that I... opened up, and it's been really good. But he served me like I was a 5-star general. It was the most amazing thing. He's ex-military. And so my point is, you know, life, we all have our messes. You know, and then to top it off, it was like that was the year that God says, okay, we need a little something to get you out of whatever rut you're in, right? We had those rains. Remember, we had some pretty heavy rains last year? Well, my house is this classic old Spanish villa built in 1939, and the roof ain't so good. I'm having roof leaks, and we had a roof leak. I'm telling you. And at this point, I can barely walk, so I'm not in a good way. But my buddy Bruce was there, and we had a leak in the roof that was 5 gallons every half hour. I mean, so here I am, you guys. I'm this little old man going, oh, man. And he's like a champ, you know, and he's doing this siphon, and we're shoving it down through from here to a bucket down under the thing. It was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious at the time. And I'm just thinking to myself, I think it was, is it Danetta who lives out in?
Danette.
Yeah, it was Danette. I said, you know, your life is so, I said, if you only knew. And I'm kind of laughing, and I'm going, and look, I do have, my life is fantastic. I mean, I meet interesting people. I do interesting things, and I'm grateful. I'm totally grateful. I'm thinking to myself, if you only knew, you know, my life is not my Facebook account, you know. And then I thought, well, maybe I ought to share something. And because this is the first time I've shared about my illness since last September, and I just started walking December 14th with a cane, and I did some video along the way. And I'm just thinking the last week I might do this little clip of where I was, from where I was screaming, getting out of a chair, to where I'm walking. And yesterday, I walk every day now, I walk 60 minutes, 60, an hour. My blood pressure has gone from very high. I think my reading this morning was, three times I measured it today, it was 117 over 69. I mean, it was perfect. And I've cut down 80% of my meds, right? So all I'm saying is I know what it's like to have a story to be attached to. And I'm healthy again. And it's like when I would do these videos, and you guys, I'm telling you, I would get up and I'm like, and I'd get going and I'd get a little momentum and I might do, you know, 10 feet on this walker and back. And then my friend was doing a little video because I wanted to document it. I would always end up saying, I got this baby. I got it. You know, because there's something in my brain that says, do not, absolutely do not yield to what was yesterday, what was that last breath. Every time you take a breath, you have a new chance at life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I forget all about that. That's why I was talking so short. I'm looking at my notes and I can't really see them because, you know, I don't want to, like, so anyways. So at the end of the day, you guys, we all have a mess. And when we go through these times, that's the thing that makes us like pure gold. Only if we can detach from yesterday, if we can detach from the last breath, because everything is new. And if you can set your thought and your intention in the moment with no limitations and focus on that thought and control your thoughts, and when you get a bad thought and you're, you know, the victim thing, I can't because this and that, just say, well, you can go. This thought, we'll let you go. You're not welcome. Just let it go through. But here's the problem. So many people are not even aware of their thoughts. They're not even aware of it. And the thing is, the more that we get into this place where we're very reflective and we take our impulses not from the external world, but from the internal world, in our breath and in our prayers, and I know a lot of you guys know this, you know, more than I do, but it's a constant reminder that it's about being present in this moment and allowing this thing called magic or supernatural intervention or the love of God to change our world with each successive breath. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, I think I'm done now.
Boy, he taught himself a lot, didn't he? He learned a lot, and he shared that with us. But is there an easier way to learn than get so you can't walk and you're hurting here and you got that wrong there? And couldn't you have found an easier way, Dan? But I've known Dan a lot of years, and he's always wanted to work for God. But now I've... What do you say? Is that a fired-up character he is now? You're fired up now, honey.
I'm back.
Wow. Now you've got a lot of experience that you can help others with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've got the time to do it. You're still a baby.
I'm still a baby, that's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, you wanted to work for God before, but it was, you know, you really didn't want to. You know. What do you think of that, everybody? He's fired up character. He's not the whole back here guy. I'll tell you about him. We'll tell you about it. Not that anymore, is he? Whew. Yep. You've really made a change in your life, honey.